The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
The Eric Stewart Show. This is Pointing You Home.
Pointing You Home.
All you need to know about buying, selling, and everything in between. Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning, Washington. Thank you for joining me today for an interesting episode in the annals of a real estate agent in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm sure as all of you are experiencing this separation from your loved ones, sometimes by force due to illness and sometimes simply by quarantine because of you're not feeling well, or perhaps it's because you have now gotten into the routine of when you're walking down the sidewalk of exiting the sidewalk and stepping into the street and avoiding anybody around you, or going into the shopping market and getting food for your family, but wearing a mask now. We'll talk a bit about how life has changed and how it has changed in real estate on today's show. Your questions are always welcome. Shoot them to radio@ericstewartgroup.com. And you can listen to this show and other shows at iHeartRadio, as well as on Spotify. If you search for Eric Stewart Show, Pointing You Home, you'll find our shows there, and you can listen anytime you'd like. And we'll discuss today why real estate is considered an essential part of our business life here and why realtors are still working today. I had an oil tank issue that came up this week where it almost killed a sale. We'll chat about that and just so much more. If you have not listened to the show before, we're on 8 to 8:30 every Sunday morning right here on WMAL. I'm Eric Stewart with Long & Foster, and you can go to our website for more info as well at ericstewartgroup.com. First, let's talk about how life has changed in real estate. It's been this slow train running. Maybe it's not been that slow, really, but over a period of about 3 months now, when I first noticed that the COVID-19 was being introduced in China, and then it spread to Korea and made its way to Japan and other places, I became concerned that this was not something that could be stopped by borders, that unless we actually stopped all international travel, we would probably be in trouble. And I actually removed my positions in stocks back in January because of that concern that I had, that I just felt like I needed to back off of where I was positioned. And clearly that has proven, and I'm back in now. I moved back in about a week and a half ago because I think we've seen the reaction now. And I feel like, and I'm not a financial advisor or a stock advisor, I'm a real estate agent. I'm just telling you that I personally took a step back from the markets because I could tell we were going to go into something fairly dramatic, and was fortunate to have done it when I did. The fact that it has come into our country and there's going to be 500,000 people shortly in America that will have this virus, and it's probably going to continue to grow beyond that, right? It's not going to end. So making the introduction into our society, what is essential and what is not essential, has become a necessary part of life for all of us. You know, it's interesting. I was out jogging the other day and I saw a Domino's pizza delivery man, and I waved at him. I didn't get too close to his car. He rolled his window down. He pulled out a piece of paper, and it was clearly a letter. He says, "I have a letter." You know, and his point was, he actually has authority to deliver pizza. You know, I have a letter like that as well from the governors of Maryland and Virginia and the mayor of D.C. Essentially, I have permission to perform an essential service, but it's how we perform that service now that is key for how the public will perceive us as professionals, as well as how we are protecting ourselves and protecting our clients from the introduction of the virus by potentially buyers, or buyers being introduced to it by sellers, right? So What started with just social distancing and I just need to keep a little bit of distance has moved to rubber gloves and masks now in my appointments, and us providing rubber gloves on all of our listings now, so that when someone shows at the door, that we're providing gloves for them to wear as they're walking through if they're going to touch. If the house is vacant, it's not so critical. But when someone's living in the home, it's important that the homeowner have confidence that if a child is there, that the child is maybe touching something, that the child's germs or whatever the child has is being kept from the owners of that home. There has to be confidence. There has to be an absolute confidence. I mean, that, we don't know enough about this virus even now to know whether or not something could stay on a a piece of furniture for more than just 3 hours, which is what we're being told. It could be 3 hours. And suppose the house is shown at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Someone comes home at 5:30 and touches something that some child touched who had, you know, unintentionally spread the virus. So we have to think in the most careful of ways as real estate agents for how we are showing our real estate, protecting our sellers and buyers coming in on those listings, being provided gloves so that when they do show interest in seeing a property, that they are given the means to protect themselves. And I recognize that many of you already have gloves and many of you may have masks already, and masks are very hard to come by. Clearly, they're for our first responders, but the creation of masks or the use of bandanas or other sorts to just to provide some level of protection from you touching your face with your hand or maybe breathing something out that would at least have a layer of filter going out. These are key elements for how we interact with those. And when we're walking into other people's homes, this is how it has to be considered right now. I think this is going to be the norm probably for the next 2 to 3 months, maybe longer. I don't know. I think we all have come to recognize that COVID-19 is going to make its way through our public, and that it's not going to just simply disappear. There are going to be those who are asymptomatic who carry this. And it's a question of trying to stop the dramatic death rate that we have for lack of ventilators and the lack of medicine and the lack of some kind of a virus killer. We have to slow this death rate down. We have to keep ourselves socially distanced as it goes throughout our life, how we live our lives, how we talk to our neighbors. In fact, we cannot go to church now, that, you know, we can't go to synagogue, that we can't go to a restaurant to eat inside. Now it's about pickup food. I mean, for me, it's just an interesting time in my life. I've now been eating a lot more frozen foods and simplifying, eating $4 to $5 frozen food meals or cooking something. I've become very good at figuring out ways to have sun-dried tomatoes chopped up and mixed into everything that I like to eat because I love sun-dried tomatoes. You know, it's just, I've become creative. It's driven me in ways that I probably would not have given my time to. I've finally finished a song for Easter, for today. And I just want to stop and take a moment and just say how grateful I am for Easter, because this is a day where I celebrate Christ's resurrection and my salvation, you know, from my sins. And sin, by the way, is a really interesting word. I don't know if you've ever heard this or not, but the word sin, it's an old Latin word that means outside of. And it was used in the game of archery in the Middle Ages to describe when archers would hit the bullseye, they didn't sin. But if they missed the bullseye by a little bit or by a lot, it didn't really matter. They sinned. So when the translation was presented, the King James translation was presented in the Middle Ages, and then it was read out loud, everybody understood the word sin. Now it's lost its sort of sense. We know it means kind of doing the wrong thing. But in consideration of how difficult it is to get a bullseye, to get something perfect in life, we all sin, right? We all make mistakes every day, day by day, hour by hour, our lives. And so the reality is, and the good news of the gospel is that Christ didn't sin, and yet he died for our sins, and death could not keep him, and he rose from the dead. And that is the good news of the gospel. And for that, I'm grateful. So I wrote a song essentially talking about the elements of the death of Christ, the nails, the crown, the cross, the tree that he was put up on. And it's something I've been working on for some years. And so the creativity has been flowing back as I have taken the time now to spend an hour every evening working my guitar, practicing my singing, and trying different configurations, learning new chords, right? So the application of new energy in a different direction, or maybe the same energy that I otherwise would have expended just in the sale of real estate, now I am focusing in other areas, whether it's organizing my taxes earlier this year than maybe before or whatnot. So we're all discovering different ways of living. Well, it's a good time for me to take a segue break here to Stuart Rosenthal. Good morning, Stuart.
What's going on in the Beacon this week?
Oh, some interesting things, of course, in this April issue. One of them is, you know, people are in their homes. They are going a little bit stir crazy. And also people who have had jobs that they've been earning money from are finding themselves right now often cash flow problems. They're not really getting a chance to earn some money. So here's something you can do from home with a little bit of fun and actually make some money doing it. And that is selling used clothes and other items that you have in your house. You might have clothes that you no longer wear, things that you no longer fit. There are all these websites out there, a new one, fairly new one, called Mercari, M-E-R-C-A-R-I, but there's also ThredUp and Poshmark and Etsy. There's some, we talk about them in the article, where you can take pictures of your items, post them online, put a price on it, and then through these websites, they will send you a shipping box, and they will give you the information that you can use to print out a shipping label. And then when you sell the product, someone online says, I want to buy that through PayPal or whatever, then you ship it out to them, or they'll even ship it for you. And there's some fees involved. It's a little bit, you know, how you sign up is all in the story. But I think it's a great idea for someone to take advantage of their time at home and make a little cash.
Fantastic. If you're interested, would like more information, go to thebeaconnewspapers.com. And check it out there. Thank you so much, Stuart.
And I just mentioned you can still pick up the Beacon at your local grocery or pharmacy. We're in a lot of different locations where people can still pick them up.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because there are 1,500 locations around the D.C. metro area, and many of these can be found just by going to your local CVS still, or no?
Yeah, many of them, yes.
Okay, very good. We'll pick up your free copy or read them online at thebeaconnewspaper.com.
Thank you so much, Stuart. Good words, good insight. Well, that's the end of our first part for this special COVID-19 pandemic real estate segment. We'll be back with more. Don't go away.